Hey, this is Pastor Bill bringing you another Evidence and Focus of America Gone Mad. I guess you probably needed that, didn't you? This article comes to us today from thewesternjournalism.com, and it's entitled Pelosi to Name First Muslim to Intelligence Committee. This was posted 6 days ago. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from California, told her caucus Tuesday she would name the first Muslim to the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, the first notable milestone for Muslims in Congress since 2006. Pelosi said she would name Representative Andre Carson, Democrat, Indiana, to the House Intelligence Committee for the 114th Congress. Aides did not confirm the announcement to the publication of Politico, who posted it, but it will be formally announced in the coming days after the rest of the committee's membership is confirmed. The one-time Indianapolis City County Councilman is also a former law enforcement officer and worked for the Indiana Department of Homeland Security and Anti-Terrorism Unit. He currently serves on the House Armed Services Committee and House Transportation Committee. He has been in Congress since 2008, having won a special election to replace his grandmother, former Representative Julia Carson, who died the year before. He is the second Muslim to be elected to Congress. The first was Representative Keith Ellison, Democrat from Minnesota, who was elected in 2006. Pelosi's announcement to the Democratic House Caucus Tuesday comes less than a week after radical Islamic terrorists attacked the satirical news outlet Charlie Hebdo, killing 17 people. Roll Call pointed out that Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, will be the new ranking member of the Intelligence Committee, replacing Representative Dutch Rupersberger, Democrat of Maryland. The chairman of the intelligence panel will be Republican Representative Devin Nunes, also of California. Nunes replaces former Representative Mike Rogers, Republican from Michigan, who has embarked on a talk radio career. So, what do we say about this? Well, let's just see if we can put this in perspective. If we were in a Muslim country, and let's just pick one. If we were in Saudi Arabia or Iran, let's say we were in Egypt, and let's say that about 7% of the population, well, that's incredibly too high, that's not even, let's say 3.5% of the population of Egypt was Christian, because that's about right. We have 8 million Muslims in America. Let's say that 3, and that's about, because, you know, I mean, 8 would be 10% of, you know, of 8,000, or excuse me, 8 million would be 10% of 80 million. Well, okay, so we have four times that in America, 320 million. So 8 million basically means 2% of the population. So 2% of Egypt, let's just say, is Christian. Okay, and let's say there's one Christian in their governmental system, all right? And let's say that all of a sudden there are now two Christians in their governmental system, all right? Now let's imagine living in Egypt and you have two Christians representing 2% of the population in their governmental system, all right? Let's imagine living in Egypt, being Muslims, let's imagine hearing news of bad Christians. Now, they're not Christians. They're bad Christians. They're militant Christians. And let's say we heard a story of them driving into Sudan and blowing up government buildings. Let's say we heard of Christians, not good ones, radical ones, not Christians. These are radical Christians over in Nigeria finding Muslim places of worship and blowing them up. Let's say that we knew about that. Okay? Do you think that Egyptians, by and large, would just kind of sit back and say, but I'm sure Christianity is not that way? After years and years and years of the news being stuffed full of stories of, not Christians, mind you, but just radical Christians, hanging people on crosses, Christians hanging Muslims on crosses, Christians beheading Muslims, Christians killing children in front of their parents, Muslim children, Christians kidnapping 300 Muslim girls from a school in Nigeria, But, of course, they're not Christians. They're radical Christians. Can you see Egypt? Can you see them in our scenario? Can you see them saying, oh, that's probably not Christianity. That's probably just radical Christianity. And then Egypt says, here's what we need to do. In our chief intelligence body, in our top house, our House of Representatives, I understand the Senate could be considered the top house. Okay, so in one of our top houses, in one of our three branches of government, we're going to have a committee that keeps an eye on the world that includes decades of stories of radical Christians doing unspeakable things. Not just killing Muslims, but killing Christians not like themselves. And we're going to sit back and we're going to expect the Muslim government, whatever they are, and we're going to expect them to get up and say, now look, don't think of Christians this way. Christians don't do this kind of thing. Don't feel bad. Don't think badly of Christians. Christians don't do that thing. Can you imagine after that a Christian would be put in a main body where the chief function would be to look out for terrorism, which is globally known to the Egyptian people as being conducted by so-called Christians? Can you imagine you being elected to that little committee whose sole responsibility is to keep your country free from terrorism, which is done predominantly by Christians? You think that they would put a representative of 2% of the population in that committee? Surely you don't. That is how stupid we are in America. You see, the scripture is very clear. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here's the facts. America does not fear God. We kill children. We kill lots of children inside of their mothers. And then we have the audacity to stand up and say, these lives matter after they're born. We have the audacity to say, it's pretty clear that God designed a man and a woman to cohabitate and reproduce. But we're going to take that very clear physiological clue, and we're going to turn it on its ear, and we're going to allow two men to do that which is unspeakable, and two women to do that which is very clearly against nature. We're going to do that. Oh. And that doesn't tell you that we are rejecting the fear of God? We're going to let boys who say they're feeling girly use girls' bathrooms. We're going to let preachers be charlatans, earn hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars a year to cram coliseums full. And you think that we have the fear of God? You think that we have the fear of God when we allow leadership in the United States military to use profanity of the highest degree? When we don't put them in prison for much more than a year or two, when they're adulterating with junior officers, do you think that when we have judges declaring things that God said are evil to be okay and worthy of equity, do you honestly think, honestly, that we're a God-fearing nation? Well, if you have resigned yourself to the understanding that we are not a God-fearing nation, then you can understand why all traces of wisdom are fleeing to the borders. They are gone, being flushed. And we are doing some crazy things, like putting people who represent 2% of the population that worldwide is known for heinous acts of violence and intoleration, and we're going to make them a part of that very small group of people who has limited accountability. We're going to put them in that body to watch that global threat. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a godless America.